Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Well, hello there. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I love it when inspiration strikes when least expected. A few weeks ago, I was talking with a friend about storytelling and the importance of great video, and in my excitement, I blurted out, "Storytelling is more than just great video. It's everything." Hey, that would make a great talk. That idea would become the foundation of my talk, Storytelling is Everything. And in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share the everything of storytelling. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/195. I love those moments when you get inspiration for an idea that you're working on. And I was putting together an outline for a talk that I was going to give to the Washington Realtor Leadership at their annual conference. And in talking with a friend, he's like, "Chris, you know, is storytelling just a great video? Because it seems like there's more to that." And I got really animated and excited and said, "You know, storytelling isn't just producing a great video. Storytelling is absolutely everything." And it's funny because as I thought about that, I'm like, I can't really structure a talk around everything. I've got to give it some foundation, some structure. And so I came up with four areas that really define effective storytelling. The first is story. The second is a storyteller telling that story. The third is the audience who receives the story. And the fourth is technology. And those four areas became the foundation of my talk, Storytelling is Everything. And so in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm actually going to share the presentation in a shortened way that I gave last week to the Washington Realtor Leadership. So if storytelling is everything, if storytelling is a story plus a storyteller plus an audience plus technology, what's interesting is that a lot of people will start with technology. But I think that's the last thing that we should approach because there's so many other things to consider before we even get to technology. And the first thing to consider is just the idea of story. And story has been with us since the dawn of time. From the time that we were sitting around campfires, drawing on cave walls, to being in amphitheaters, writing books, going to the movies, going on the internet. All of these things have been mediums and ways to tell stories. And in those stories, we have been gods, we have been heroes, monsters, and villains. We've discovered fire, we've discovered hubris, we've discovered love and revenge, hope and hate. All of these things that are the bare essentials of what it means to be human. In his book, The Storytelling Animal by Jonathan Gottschall, he writes that story is where people go to practice the key skills of human social life. All of these things that we do to be better humans, or in some instances, learning how to not be a worse human, is found in stories. The stories that we take in, the stories that we share, the stories that we perpetuate out into the world. That is how we build love and empathy, hate and discord between one another. Because story is a meaning machine. We find the purpose for life, we find meaning in life through the stories that guide us and the ways that stories, you know, define community, the stories that communities share, the stories that people tell in order to bring people together. It is in the meaning of story that we really discover who we are as people. I think a lot about meaning of life. I am someone that thrives when I'm doing meaningful, purposeful work. And oftentimes it's the story behind the work that is more meaningful. So story is a meaning machine. We can do a lot with story. Think about your favorite movies and the things that you learn in life, the meaning that you bring. So a lot of people use religion in this way. Religion is a way to tell a meaningful story. A lot of people want meaning for their life, so they look to the stories of religion. They look to the stories of technology. They look to the stories of corporations to bring meaning to life. Think about Nike and their Just Do It campaign. That's a way to bring meaning to life. Disney and the fairy tales that they tell, or Star Wars, Marvel, all of these are stories to bring meaning to one's life. And what's interesting about story is that oftentimes we believe stories more than we believe in facts, because stories are a way to structure meaning. It's a way to structure facts. We will actually understand life through the prism of stories more than facts. And so when we look at the political world that we live in right now, oftentimes the stories that are being told aren't actually factual. Oftentimes they are lies, straight up lies, and we as people will believe them because they're told as stories, meaningful stories that we are like, yes, I can get behind that. So again, it doesn't matter whether it's left or right. Stories are perpetuated because people believe them more than facts. It takes time to really think about facts and whether we believe them or not, because they need to be researched, whereas a story doesn't necessarily need to be researched. It just has to feel right. And so that's why when Stephen Colbert came out with the whole truthiness thing back in the day, where it's just got to feel right, you know, that's kind of why stories, I think we believe them more, because they feel right. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just what we have to work with stories. Because stories save us. They guide us. They teach us. They protect us. They conform us. They lead us. They repulse us. They inform us and they entertain us. There is so much power in story. So much power. Can you feel the power? But what's interesting about stories, effective stories has a structure. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. In the beginning of a story is generally when we are introduced to someone, the main character. In the middle of the story, they come up against some conflict of going after things that they desire. And as it builds into the end of the story, there's a sense of resolution. And a story without structure, I like to think of it this way. Think about Matlock. Without a murder or without a criminal case, the story of Matlock has absolutely no structure, and it's just an old guy eating a hot dog. Story is interesting. Story has conflict and it has resolution. You know, it's not just this person going after something. There needs to be a sense of conflict. It can be a great conflict between themselves. It can be a conflict between society. It can be conflict against another person. But there needs to be a heightened sense of conflict that comes to a resolution. For the most part, as an audience, we want resolution. When a story doesn't resolve, it can be really frustrating. It can be really discouraging. So every conflict, every story has a conflict and a resolution. Again, Jonathan Gottschall writes in The Storytelling Animal, problem structure suggests that the human mind was shaped for story so that it could be shaped by story. Whew, that's a heady one. That one's a little hard to wrap your mind around, but I think what he's getting at is that our mind needs story so that it can be shaped by it. I think it comes down to this sense of, again, purpose. We need story to drive us because it's a part of our DNA. It's a part of who we are. Because ultimately, stories are about people. The most interesting stories that we believe, that we share, that we follow are about people and people holding beliefs and ideas. Very interesting stuff. I could talk a lot about story, but I'm going to move on. Some action questions for you to consider as you're writing a story or as you're maybe working on a creative project that has a story. Ask yourself these questions. Who are the characters in your story? What do they want? What are their conflicts or struggles as they go after what they want? And what is the outcome or resolution of that conflict? So if storytelling starts with a story, it progresses with a storyteller. And the storyteller's primary job is to invite other people into their stories. It's a way to say, this is my story, and I'm going to create an opportunity for you to see yourself in this story. The storyteller shapes how the story is told. It shapes how the characters look, how the characters sound, the conflict that is being told. And I think it's impossible to tell a story without a storyteller. In the book Design is Storytelling by Ellen Lupton, she writes that storytelling can help products and communications hook the imagination of users and invite actions and behaviors. That is the job of the storyteller, to really hook the imagination of users so that they can act and behave. As a storyteller, you have the ability to have your style, your personality, and point of view guide the story. Without the personality and style of George Lucas, we wouldn't have the stories of Star Wars. Without the style and personality and point of view of Steven Spielberg or Ava DuVernay or Werner Herzog or David Lynch, all of these stories have the style, personality, and point of view of the storyteller. And the story becomes something different because all of the stories of the world have been told to a certain degree, but they haven't been told by you, the storyteller. Every storyteller has a different language. That could be the words, it could be the visuals, it could be the soundtrack. Some filmmakers like David Lynch, his language is obscurity. It's confusion, it's visual, it's guttural, it's primal. But then some filmmakers like language, like dialogue, like exposition. What's so great about storytellers is that I could give the same story to every one of my listeners, and we would all tell different stories because we all approach the world a different way. We would all approach the story a different way. And that's what makes storytelling so rich. It's not just the story, but it's the storyteller. The storyteller also inflicts conflict upon people. We think about conflict in different ways. I don't necessarily like conflict. Some people love conflict, but as a storyteller, how you bring upon conflict on your characters is really what this idea is about. And not only that, are you torturing your characters? Maybe, but how are you resolving that conflict? Everyone's going to do it differently. Every storyteller is different, and that's the beauty of storytelling. That's why, in a lot of ways, storytelling is everything, because the storyteller is the one that is painting the canvas. They are leading their teams. They're the ones that are really helping to bring this story to the forefront. And it's very exciting if, as we consider all of the ways that we can tell that story. So, some action questions. How do you find yourself telling stories? Do you favor the visual language of film? Do you favor the spoken words of podcasts? Do you favor sitting around a campfire and telling ghost stories? How do you find yourself telling stories? Because that gives insight to who you are as a storyteller. Ask yourself, what is your style, personality, and point of view? Do you like obscurity? Do you like making sure that everything wraps up tidy and perfect? Do you favor political messages, or do you like to be absent in your political views? These are all things that you bring to story. Do you look at the world through the lens of history, or do you look at the world through the lens of a futuristic view? Again, what is your comfortability with conflict? All of these things, all of these questions go into who you are as a storyteller. And that's really exciting because I think this is often overlooked when it comes to pursuing telling stories, primarily because I think we put a lot of emphasis on the audience and on the story, but often forget the storyteller themselves. I hear a lot and I read a lot about how storytellers shouldn't make stories for themselves, but need to make things for an audience. And while I don't disagree with that, I don't think we should discount ourselves and what we enjoy and what we love. Because I think without that passion, without that love, we forsake all of the other areas of our personalities. And it just creates bland stories that go nowhere. So as we move from story into the storyteller, we then get into the idea of the audience. And a lot of things that I read, again, it places the audience as the pinnacle of storytelling. I mean, you have to tell the story to someone. I mean, if you're not telling a story to someone, you're just talking to yourself. And then is that really entertaining? Well, maybe. I've enjoyed a good laugh with myself at times. But the storyteller is telling the story to someone. And where you fit this into your process of storytelling, it's not as important to place them first. I think sometimes you as the storyteller need to fall in love with the story first before you ever consider the audience. There is a lot of literature out there about storytelling and making your audience the heroes in the story. But I think before you can consider where the audience is at in the story, they just need to be able to identify with the story and how they see themselves in it. It's not just that they're the hero, but I think sometimes your audience might be the villain. Maybe you want to make a statement and you want to challenge some emotions or some beliefs that someone has. You might not be able to do that as a hero, but you might be able to use the canvas as the villain for that. But what about the sidekick or the mentor or the comic relief? All of these characters, the hero, the villain, the sidekick, the mentor, the comic relief, these are all of the archetypes that Joseph Campbell has written about in The Hero of a Thousand Faces or whatever the book is. And it's this idea of there are many different ways to create characters. In a lot of stories, you need them all, because if you're only having one character, that's a lot of responsibility in that character for in an entire diverse audience to see themselves in that one character. That's a lot of pressure on that character. So have a vast array of characters with a vast array of diversity. An important thing to consider is that characters need to evolve throughout stories. So one way to think about it is not just telling one story, but telling a larger story that maybe encompasses multiple movies, multiple podcasts, so that it becomes a saga. I like to think a lot about Star Wars. I like the journey of Luke Skywalker from episode 4 to episode 8. That is a saga. He's the plucky idealist farm boy who wants to join the resistance and get off the desert planet so that he can be where the action is. In episode 4, he becomes in episode 5 the student who struggles with needing to save his friends. In episode 6, he kind of sacrifices himself so that he can avoid becoming his old man. You know, in episode 7, he's absent. In episode 8, he's the cynical burnout on the rock. And in a lot of ways, this progression, while many people didn't like it, it's a progression that I, as the audience member, can see myself in throughout the entire spectrum of his story. And if I only saw the story of Luke Skywalker in episode 4, I might not be able to relate to it anymore as the 40-year-old cynical burnout that I kind of am at times. But I need the reminder of episode 4. I need the reminder of 5, 6, 7, and 8, because then I can see myself and I can change as I grow, as I change. And I see different things in the characters at different moments. So one of the things to consider that I told in the presentation was that if your job is to sell homes, and the only story that you tell is of selling homes, what happens when your customer buys a home and they no longer see themselves as a part of the story that you're telling? That's why you need to tell a bigger story. If me selling video production services to companies, if all I do is ever tell one story, what happens when I tell that story for them and they never come back? I have to be constantly telling a bigger story and inviting people in as the storyteller. It goes hand in hand. All of these things, it is everything. It goes in so deep and it's so connected throughout the entire experience. One of the important things to consider is that the storyteller and the audience forge a foundation of shared experiences. As the storyteller, if you want to repulse your audience so that they can learn a lesson, if you want to challenge their empathy, you want to challenge the way that they're looking at the world, that's creating a foundation of shared experiences so that when people experience the story together, it creates a sense of camaraderie, it creates a sense of empathy, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think a lot of it like DNA, where you have the intertwining of your story and the audience's story. And so as they intertwine, as they create the building blocks of this experience, then you start seeing all of the different strands that come together to form larger experiences. Much like DNA is the foundation of life, it's the foundation of protein and the building blocks of matter. And as they form intricate webs of matter, it becomes greater than it could ever be by itself. And that's the beauty of storytellers and audiences, and why you shouldn't just forsake your view as the storyteller. It goes so deep to, I just don't believe that you should ever neglect your own storytelling views. So a few action questions. How are you going to invite your audience into your stories? What are your stories and the larger sagas that you're going to tell over time? And what shared experiences are you seeking to create? For me personally, I want to create shared experiences of empathy, of encouragement, of hope, and of education and information, and do that all through a prism of entertainment. And those shared experiences are what I'm seeking to do with everything that I make. What about you? So finally, we get to this idea of technology. Again, we didn't start with technology, but we're going to end with technology. So if storytelling is everything, if it's story plus storyteller plus audience, the technology is both the medium that you work in and how you connect your story to the audience. So in many ways, it's the video that you produce, but it's also the place that you store your videos, being YouTube or Vimeo. It's the images that you craft and the social network that you place them on. The mediums could be videos, it could be photos, sound, music, virtual reality, augmented reality. In this case, it's a podcast. And then the medium where you're uploading it to would be like social networks like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google, your own website, an email newsletter. For instance, this podcast gets uploaded to Blueberry and then is syndicated out to Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and all of the smaller places that pick up the Apple Podcast feed. And so the medium is where you go to connect with people. And inevitably, you ask the deep question of, okay, if it's videos, photos, sound, music, virtual reality, augmented reality on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Google, which do I choose? What do I do? Where do I start? These are all deep questions. And it's often where most of us start when we don't even know the story that we're telling, how we're going to tell it, and to who we're even telling it. This is why technology comes last, because there are so many other considerations before that. So for example, if you know that the story you want to tell would be best told with photos uploaded to Facebook because that's where your audience is, that's where you want to go. One of the things that I often do, and I think a lot of people do, is when you're wanting to grow your influence in a certain technology, like how do I make a better video, or how do I get more people to subscribe to my YouTube channel, or how do I get more subscribers to my email newsletter, we inevitably go to Google and search for it, and we end up with all these amazing clickbait articles that in some instances don't really work. And the reason that they don't work is because we're starting with technology. As we build our stories, as we learn our craft as storytellers, and as we connect with our audience in the technology that we work, then and only then do I think that our influence will grow. But we have to consistently do it. So while clickbait articles aren't necessarily a bad thing, I think it's a waste of time for you to really go down and try to figure things out. I think you just need to consistently tell stories and figure out which technology, again, will best tell your story and start there. Don't start with the clickbait. Start with where the story that you want to tell will best be told and where. When you're approaching technology, there can be a lot of fear. Do not be afraid. Technology is not something that you should be afraid of. You can make mistakes, but you know what? Make them. Make mistakes, because you will learn faster when you make mistakes and try things than if you try to be calculated and perfect. No creative professional is ever going to make a perfect product. Hollywood can't even make a perfect film, and they spend billions of dollars doing it. So don't be afraid of making mistakes. Okay, I'm saying this to me because I try to be perfect, and it prevents me, I think, from being more timely in my work, and I think creating more work. So do not be afraid that you're going to make mistakes, or that you're going to pick the wrong technology, or that you're going to alienate your audiences if you don't do something right. So a few action questions. What technology will best tell your stories? Where are you most comfortable? I think there's a sense of comfort that we have with technology that we need to challenge. So if you're super comfortable in telling stories with photographs, what if you went to that next level and made a movie? Or if you're comfortable making a short film, what if you made a longer film? And a final question, how will you use multiple types of media? So let's put this all together in some motivational moments. We have storytelling is everything being story plus storyteller plus audience plus technology. So now what? You're going to start telling stories. You're going to figure out the stories that you want to tell, how you're going to tell them, to whom you're telling them, and where you're telling them. So motivational moment number one, tell a story that resonates with you, then shape it for your audience. Don't tell the story that you think people want to hear. We have enough of that in the world. We need stories that you're passionate about telling. Fall in love with the story, then figure out how you need to tell it to your audience so that they can see themselves in it and so that they can grow and evolve in your story. Motivational moment number two, allow your audience to evolve and change as they experience your stories. Don't just expect your audience to stay stagnant. We as people need to grow. We need to change as we experience new stories. I love some of the stories that are being told right now because it challenges me as a human being on how I think about other people, how I think about my place in the world. And the stories that are evolving my view and thinking are the stories that make me love people more, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, regardless of how they identify as people. And those stories are allowing me as the audience to evolve and change. So how are you going to allow your audience to evolve and change? You need to do it. Motivational moment number three, don't forget all of the storytelling pieces. It doesn't matter where you start. You can start with technology if you want. You can start with story if you want. But don't forget them all, because they're all interconnected. Story feeds the storyteller, which feeds the audience, which feeds into technology. Technology feeds into storytellers, which feed into audience. All of these things are interconnected, so don't forget them all. Motivational moment number four, practice makes perfect, so just get started. I've heard the stories. If only I could lose 10 pounds and then I would be on camera. Or I don't want to start a podcast. I hate the sound of my own voice. You know what? It doesn't matter. Just get started. Don't worry about the weight. Don't worry about the sound of your voice. Just make stuff. Because what's going to happen is you're going to realize that people like your voice, even if you don't. People don't care if you've got 10 pounds too many. People don't care if you made a mistake. And you're going to get better over time. You're going to get better equipment, which is going to increase production value, but only as you practice. So just get started. I love this quote from Creative Quest by Questlove. He writes, "When we make something different." So motivational moment number five is be yourself. When you make something, you're going to make something different than me and everyone else on this planet, because you are unique. Your experiences, your worldview, the way that you bring your passions and curiosities into life is different than anyone else. So you need to be yourself. You need to tell the stories that mean something to you in the way that you want to tell them to the people that you want to tell them to with the technology that matters to you. In the book Wonderland, How Play Made the Modern World by Steven Johnson, he writes, "When human beings create and share experiences designed to delight or amaze, they often end up transforming society in more dramatic ways than people focused on more utilitarian concerns." What a powerful quote for motivational moment number six. Delight or amaze. Be curious. Get creative and have fun. Creative work is some of the most enjoyable work that you can do. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's dreadful to start with a blank page and wonder what it could be. But it is fun. It is work, though, but it's such an amazing canvas for curiosity, for your passions, for your interests. So just be curious. Have an open mind. Don't think that you know it all. Just get out there, meet people, and do amazing things. In closing, I love this quote from Tribes by Seth Godin. He writes, "The secret of leadership is simple. Do what you believe in, paint a picture of the future, and go there." I think this is a quote that can be altered for storytelling as well. The secret of storytelling is simple. Do what you believe in, paint a picture of the future, and go there. Well, that was an abbreviated version of Storytelling is Everything. Again, this was an hour-long talk that I just condensed into 35 minutes, but in many ways, I've been thinking a lot about this conversation, because as I think about how to improve in my business, how to improve in the stories that I'm telling, it really does come down to those four areas. It's not just the technology, it's not just the audience, but it really is all four components. It's the story that you're telling, the way that you're telling it as the storyteller, the audience that you're telling it to, and the technology that you're using. I hope this episode has been helpful. I hope that it changes and helps you think about new ways to consider storytelling. And if there's anything that you'd like to share with me, or any ways that you think that this can be built upon and expanded, reach out and let me know. I'd love to know what you think. And hey, if you'd like me to come share this presentation with your organization or your conference, reach out to me. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com. Thank you so much for listening. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? I'm currently planning on resuming interviews in December, so stay tuned for conversations with amazing people doing awesome things in and for the world. I've been seeing and experiencing a lot of hurt people out there in our line of work. It can be a struggle to be creative, run your business, and keep it together. My friend Kyle has a great saying, strength through art. And I hope that you will stay strong through whatever art you are making. But more than that, may you stay strong and connected with your fellow artists and creative professionals. If you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.